Days until the NFL draft in Pittsburgh. It's time for episode number 5 of the Jets Collective alongside ESPN's Rich Simini and longtime radio personality Brandon Tierney. My name is Jake Asman. Welcome in. We've made it to episode 5. We have almost made it to the NFL draft. Appreciate everyone being with us tonight, or if you're watching after the fact, we thank you for being part of the Jets Collective. Make sure you like the video and you are subscribed to the channel. And of course, check out the show on Apple, Spotify, and iHeart Podcast if you missed it live on YouTube. Guys, we're presented by Prize Picks. We'll have a Prize Pick play later on in the show. Draft related, of course. But here we go. 2 days out. Rich, Darren Mucci spoke earlier. BT, you and I are jacked up as Jet fans for this. Rich, how are we feeling 2 days out from what is one of the more important drafts in the recent history of the Jets franchise?
I'm feeling good. I'm a little tired. It's a lot. I feel like I've been talking about the draft for about 5 months, which is not an exaggeration, you know, the way the Jet season went. Yeah, I'm pumped up. I mean, and you are right, Jake. This is a momentous draft for them with 4 picks in the first 2 rounds. It could be franchise altering. And it should be if they hit on most of these picks.
Let's face it, guys. It's our Super Bowl here. It is what it is, right? I kind of feel the same way, Rich. I'm very optimistic. I know we'll touch on Mucci's press conference here, but the Jets have a chance where they're picking, the access to the players that they'll have. Some of the players they already have in the building, some of the old linemen, Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, like the Jets have a chance, provided they can secure that quarterback next season, which is obviously something we'll tackle next season, to really set themselves up to get out of this abyss and start playing some real meaningful football, Jake.
It's huge. And look, normally when you have the number 2 pick after the year the Jets just had, there's that quarterback that you're looking forward to. I think what makes this year so unique is just, you know, here we are 2 days out, and I know we're about to talk about the latest rumblings and whether it's going to be Arvell Reese or David Bailey, but it still feels like there's not a clear answer, and I can't remember a draft where it feels like we actually don't know who the number 2 pick is at this point. It just makes it kind of odd. Rich, you've covered a million of these Jets drafts. Does this one feel a little different because of that aspect?
Yeah, I mean, I think even last year, when they were picking 7th, we had a pretty good idea that Membu was, you know, probably going to be their guy if he was still available. And so this year, it is a weird draft, not only because of the mystery with the Jets pick, it's just that it's top heavy with a lot of quote unquote, you know, non-value positions like safety and inside linebacker and a running back. So it's a little atypical in that respect, which I think is going to add to some surprises on draft night. Some trades maybe we don't anticipate. I just anticipate kind of a weird kind of draft.
I think something's going to happen that's going to stun us. Now, whether or not the Jets are in the middle of it, I don't know. We've talked about Dallas with 2 first-round picks. The Giants now have 2 first-round picks. I think the one difference, though, while I think we've all on some level, to some degree, vacillated, you know, Reese, Bailey, Bailey, Reese, back and forth. We've all kind of been spinning that wheel and spinning our wheels with that pick. I think we all know it's going to be defense here. So, you know, that's the one sign that I think in unison, all Jet fans are kind of, you know, gravitating toward. Get a defensive player, and then whether it's a receiver, tight end, obviously a lot of different things you could do down the road with the 16th pick, but you know, if the Jets can just land a guy that can change there's just the look and the feel and the explosion and the subtleness of their defense, they made out pretty well Thursday night.
Rich, you wrote a story earlier today involving what Darren Mucci said when he met with members of the local media ahead of this draft on Thursday. Let's just start with the story you wrote all about the canceled David Bailey visit that the 3 of us led our show last week discussing.
Right. And I think we were kind of on the right trail last week. You know, it happened literally right before we went on the air here. And so I think we're all pretty much had a pretty good handle or speculated on what we thought it was. And it was what we thought it was. I mean, it was, they felt really comfortable with him. You know, they spent time with him at the combine. They, you know, they had dinner with him at his pro day. They felt that they had touched all the bases, checked all the boxes with David Bailey. He's a clean prospect. You know, there's nothing, there's no injury rechecks. He's clean. He's a good kid. You know, he went to Stanford for crying out loud before Texas Tech. So he's a really bright kid. And they have only 30 of these visits allotted. And they just felt like instead of him bringing him in and going through the same old routine, why don't we just bring in some other guys? We can get to know them a little bit better. And so that's why they changed, they canceled the visit. And I think a lot of people immediately speculated, oh, that's it. He's off the list. They're taking Arvell Reese. And that really wasn't the case. It was just more of a logistical thing. Explained. Bougie said today, don't read anything into it. And I kind of believe him. Why do they have to lie? They're picking second. Yeah. They know they're going first. There's no reason for them to lie.
I don't know if I want to play poker with this dude, man. Like, you know, I think he's got a clear head. I think his eyes don't really tell much of the story. You know, he's done all of his homework. I think the way you talk about Stanford, like, didn't Solomon Thomas years ago go second overall? You know, I still go back and forth, and I understand this. I sound like a broken record. I've said this every single show. I would be more excited if the Jets traded out, but as we know, you need a partner to dance with. The speculation is the speculation. Their intel is either going to point them in the right direction, and they're eventually going to be lauded for this, or they're going to get crushed for this. I don't see much of a middle ground here, Jake. Like, I don't see them getting somebody who is like, well, he's good, but he's not great. I think we'll either be really enthused or really disappointed down the road. That's my gut.
BT, quick thing. Make sure your mic is connected on the StreamYard. I think you're getting some feedback in the chat. We hear you, but it's not the excellent mic quality.
All right, let me see what's going on. I appreciate that.
Yep, of course. So just to respond to what BT was saying, though, Rich, it really does feel like if they take Arvell Reese, we're talking about the ultimate, like, boom or bust type of swing. We've talked about it a lot in terms of Bailey being, you know, the safer pick. But in your intel, are the Jets trying to swing for a home run here? Are they trying to be a lot safer, knowing that, you know, this is the number two pick, and the three other times in franchise history they've had the number two pick, it has been a major, major failure in each of those instances.
Yes, it has. Jet fans know all too well they're 0-3 in this particular slot. Interestingly, I did an X poll last week. I asked Jet fans who they wanted, and 70% wanted Arvell Reese. It was a landslide, Reese over Bailey. Are they trying to hit a home run? Of course they're trying to hit a home run. When you're picking second, you have to hit a home run. But we know, you know, it's a crapshoot. As Todd Bowles once said, it's an educated crapshoot. And so they're trying to hit a home run. I think they're just trying to pick the best prospect. I don't think they're looking. But, you know, actually, you bring up a good point, because Darren Mooji did say today, with every player that they study, they always examine the player's floor and the player's ceiling. So I think David Bailey has a higher floor right now, whereas Reese probably has a higher ceiling. The Jets may differ with that. That's my opinion, based on some scouts I've talked to. But ultimately, the proof will be in the pudding. We'll know on Thursday, probably about 8:15 or 8:20.
Hopefully, this is right. I think we should be good here. Okay, thank you for that, Jake. I appreciate it. Sorry about that, boys. Listen, it's also the height of subjectivity. I mean, there's some things that are objective. All right, 4-4, 4-5, shuttle run, cone drill, you know, vertical jump, bench press, all those things that you can obviously measure at Indianapolis. But then you get somebody in the building, you shake hands, you get to know what they're about, and you really it's a very imperfect science. But the good organizations get this right. They could get a deeper sense of who loves football, of who seems to be somebody that's going to buy in, be an all-in kind of a teammate, and be a guy who's invested in really elevating a moribund franchise. And listen, it's easy to get drafted and just jump in with the Niners or the Ravens or the Bills or the Eagles right now if you can play. I mean, if you have some talent. The hard thing is to join this kind of a situation and be a part of pushing it forward, and that's where we're at, obviously.
Well, I find
a lot of pressure.
Yeah. Well, to speak to that pressure, Rich, that's where I was going. What I don't understand with the whole Bailey cancellation visit, even if they have enough info, this is such a huge decision. Like, why not get David Bailey in your building and just have him meet everyone that is not normally at a pro day? Like, have him, you know, meet all the coaches who are there. Have him meet some of the veteran players who have begun, you know, to head back to the facility. I just find it odd that, you know, they said they have enough info on David Bailey, yet there's still people convinced that the Jets are going to take David Bailey. I don't know. You have the opportunity to get the guy one-on-one in your building. Why not find a way to bring that guy in like they did with Arvell Reese, for example, and have him meet everyone, the owner, all that, that goes into a top 30 visit.
Yeah. I mean, I was talking to a scout from another team today, and I presented the question just the way you phrased it. Like, why, if you think he's going to be your guy, why not, you know, roll out the red carpet or green carpet or whatever they want to call it and get to know him up close and personal. And the scout, he just said it's really overrated. I mean, it's just, it's not one scout's opinion, just said it's not that big a deal. You know the player. They've done a tremendous amount of research. They're going to invest, what is it going to be, like $40 or $50 million in this guy? They've vetted his background. They've probably talked to his junior high school coach or his Pop Warner coach. So it's like paralysis by overanalysis. So that's what this scout told me that I talked to.
My only pushback was play the game. Like, you've played the game this long. Jake, I'm kind of with you. Even if it's a perceptual thing that leads to nothing, you know, put out as many smoke screens and invite as many people to think whatever they're going to think in their war room. Hey, listen, when the clock's ticking and it's a pressurized environment, sometimes that clarity dissipates a little bit and you might, the phone might ring. And you know, I know they know Bailey. I know they've done all the homework. I know they really like him. I know they really like Reese. We'll find out who they like more. But Jake, I'm with you. Play the game up until the final song. It can only help you. It certainly can't hurt you, right?
Well, Rich, Darren Mooji did say something that I don't think I've ever actually heard a GM who's still employed by a team say. He said that, hey, you know, we do top 30 visits. We do it for this reason, and also it could be a smokescreen. I've never heard a GM that's still employed by their team actually admit, yeah, these top 30 visits could be a smokescreen. So do you think the Bailey thing is like a smokescreen without it being a smokescreen? Because there was so much talk about what it means. It almost maybe had the opposite effect of what the Jets' intention was.
Yeah, I mean, like I was a little surprised he said that. I mean, we all know the GMs do that, smokescreening and stuff. He just actually admitted it. So give him points for being transparent. Again, I get back to they don't have to smokescreen. You know, it's their pick. They could pick anyone in this entire draft, not named Fernando Mendoza, and they don't have to worry about someone jumping them or anything like that. So to me, it's much ado about nothing. They're going to pick whoever they pick, and it's not because of a canceled visit or a Reese or having a great visit. It's just they're going to pick the best football player. And we may differ on who that is, but they're going to pick the best guy that they like for the Jets.
Yeah, we just hope they pick the right one.
There's a chance they won't.
Understood. You know, flip a coin at this point. The other thing, too, and this has been a theme of our show, this is something that's come up to varying degrees at some point on the four previous episodes. Here we are now just a couple of days away from the draft. Jake's going to be out there in Pittsburgh. Rich going to be out there in Florham Park. I'm going to be here doing a live show on my Unleashed show, watching the draft live.
In the middle of a Knicks playoff game, by the way, BK.
I know.
You're talking about stress. Oh, God.
Don't get me going on the Knicks. I mean, good Brunson. Yeah. Can you pass the ball a little bit? 26 shots to 12 to Cat. Come on. Even things out a little bit. But the point is that we are now basically 2 days away from the draft, and there's still no leaks coming out. People who are, and Rich, you're one of them, as embedded as anybody, who do this solely for a living, the sole purpose of gaining intel and getting information. And it is like a vault that they have not been able to crack through and permeate. And it speaks to a healthy building, and it's about freaking time.
Rich, agree?
I think it speaks to that they don't have to leak smoke screens or information because, like I said, they have the pick. They can pick anybody. So a lot of times teams will leak information, you know, deliberately to affect another player's stock, to have him fall into their lap and so forth. The Jets don't have to play any of those games this year. And, you know, maybe they don't know who they're picking yet. You know, that's possible. I think they probably do.
Do you think that that's remote? I think you say that kind of kidding around, but do you think that's remotely possible that as of this moment right now, they really don't know who they're going to draft?
I mean, I've heard of cases where teams go right up until the draft before they settle their draft board. I'm not saying that's the case here, but it wouldn't be the first time. So I'm sure they'll have another meeting. They were going through it yesterday. Like Darren Mooji said, I think they've been trying to incorporate a lot of different people into the process. For instance, yesterday they invited all the coordinators to meet with Glenn and Mooji. They brought them up one at a time. They had them go over their position groups and evaluate the players. And then they also talked about specific players in the draft. If we were to draft, like Frank Reich, if we were to draft this guy, how would you be able to use him? And so they went through a bunch of players with all the coordinators just to get a better idea, better feel for how they see it from a coaching perspective. and they take all that information into the draft room with all the higher ups when they finalize the board.
If you're watching the Jets Collective live, click the like button. More importantly, if you're not watching live, and even if you are, make sure you're subscribed to the channel. We hit over 3,000 subscribers this past week, so thank you to everyone who's been a part of the ride so far. Super chats, we will get to those at the end of the show. Q&A, ask any question you want, and we will make sure that we address it at the end. We're also going to do a live mini mock 1 through 16 coming up in just a little bit. Rich, let me ask you this, because you've had some great nuggets of information, you know, throughout the Jets Collective era so far. What have you heard, maybe not in regards to number 2, because we covered that, but there's been a lot of talk about the Jets potentially trying to move up. Anything you could share in regards to pick 16 as we opened our show talking pick 2, but pick 16, gigantic for the Jets, of course, in night 1 of this draft.
Move up or down, possibly. So keep that in mind as well. I know the latest buzz, and I think we talked about it about 3 episodes ago, about the possibility of them moving up for a wide receiver. I think we debated this last week. I think that would be a poor decision by the Jets to give away a second round pick to trade up for a receiver. I think Jordan Tyson is the hot guy right now. He had like a mini pro day a few days ago where he ran routes and did some positional drills. There were a lot of teams there, and he's firmly in the top 10 right now. Heck, the Giants could take him at 5. You know, he could go that high. I think that's a lot of teams probably have him as their number one. I spoke to a scout on a team today. He said Tyson's been the number one receiver from the beginning of the process. So a lot of teams love Tyson despite the injury history. I don't think the Jets are going to be able to trade up for him. It would take a lot. I think I don't think the Jets love Carnell Tate as much as people think. Someone told me today they thought Tate could be available into the teens. So maybe if the Jets sit at 16, maybe they get Tate falling into their lap. I happen to think he'll probably go before that. I think you could see the Jets, if they're sitting there at 16 and Tate, Lemon, and Tyson are all gone, I could see the Jets moving back. I've heard that as a possibility as well. You move back, maybe pick up an extra pick or two, and you still get a receiver like a Denzel Boston or an Omar Cooper Jr. So up, down, I think Muji's open to all possibilities right now.
Let's face it, you mentioned the Giants. I think the Giants with that trade, that certainly opens up a lot of different possibilities, where we hit this a couple of years ago, where obviously the Jets took Sauce and they took Garrett, Kayvon Thibodeau, Evan Neal. It's very similar here. Now, listen, there's a lot of rumblings, and Malik Nabers, okay, well, you got Malik Nabers, maybe get him another receiver. Maybe the Giants think about maybe getting Jackson Dart, a tight end, which would be Sadiq. That's the only one you would take that early. Jake, do you think that there's – or what do you think the chance is that the Jets and the Giants are actually scrapping after the same guy at number 10 and 16, like in that window, not 2 and 5?
Well, I'll tell you what, because of the trade the Giants made, now having 5 and 10 – I think it makes it a lot harder for the Jets to get one of the quote-unquote big 3 receivers that we discussed. I don't know the Jets board if they rank it the same way the consensus has it, where it's basically an order of like Tate or Tyson, and then you have Mekhi Lemon somewhere in that conversation. But if the Giants want a receiver, like if you're the Jets, you probably got to get in front of them. I mean, I know Kansas City at 9, there was a report today that they're looking to potentially move out of 9 and get more picks. I mean, could the Jets have to now, Rich, potentially leapfrog the Giants to go from 16 to 9 if Big Blue, let's say, takes one of the Ohio State players at 5 or Jeremiah Love, and then their plan is to take their receiver with that number 10 pick they got in the Dexter Lawrence deal?
Yeah, I mean, I'll reiterate what I mean, yeah, it's possible. I think that would be a reach for the Jets. I just would not give up the 44th pick in the draft and something else to move up to 9 to get a receiver who's got some injury questions. The Jets just have so many needs. I think those 2 second-round picks are very important to fill those needs. I would not do it personally. Now, look, the Jets may have Jordan Tyson as like one of the top 3 or 4 guys on their draft board. I don't know. If they love him that much, you know, maybe they feel compelled to make a move like that.
Just to finish the thought on what the Giants could do, because it does wrap into what the Jets might try to do. I don't know what percentage I would give this. It's not over 50%. It's below that, but I don't think it's completely implausible that the Giants, if the Cardinals don't take Love, right? Giants could take Love and they could go offensive lineman. I mean, Harbaugh has talked about O-line And I think the Giants are a little bit in play for Love. So if that happens, that wouldn't complicate the Jets' ability to get one of the top three receivers.
Yeah.
And let me, I'll throw this out. And this is not really pertaining to this year's draft, but it's kind of a tasty little morsel.
Oh.
I was talking to a Cincinnati source today. We're talking about the Dexter Lawrence trade. And there's a feeling in the Cincinnati organization that that was made in part to really appease Joe Burrow, because we know he was making a lot of cryptic comments toward the end of the year. And I know Jet fans, this was a topic of conversation. Maybe the Bengals would trade Joe Burrow. So I think that trade was made to try to appease their quarterback, who was probably thinking, am I ever going to get a defense to win with? So just a little morsel for Jet fans there.
Tasty.
The fact that the Bengals are thinking that way, or at least some people there are thinking that way, lets you know that maybe they're just a little bit concerned a year from now, if things go sideways again for them, maybe Joe Burrow looking to get out.
I love it. So let's hope that Dexter Lawrence shows up 403 pounds. You know, nothing serious, but maybe tweaks a hammy the first day or so, and then, you know, kind of labors through camp and then starts the season out of shape and has a half a sack by November. The Bengals defense stinks again, and Burrow says, get me out of here. Jets trade for him, and away we go. That's got to be the hope, right?
Put him on the Mekhi Becton diet, and he's 400 pounds, and then there we go. The Jets trading three number ones for Joe Burrow.
Let's go.
I'll never forget one of the interactions that Rich and Mike Tannenbaum had on the Sunday show I would do with Mike on ESPN New York, where Mike Tannenbaum was dead set trying to convince Rich live on the air that if he had the opportunity to get Joe Burrow in a room, Joe Burrow would waive his full no trade and want to play for Aaron Glenn and the Jets. And I'm sitting there just laughing as Mike is like getting into the spirited debate with Rich. I don't know how you didn't hang up the phone there, Rich, because there's no chance Joe Burrow is signing up to play on the MetLife turf for Woody Johnson and Aaron Glenn after the Jets were going through a 3-win season this past year.
Yeah. Well, Mike convinced Brett Favre once upon a time. He thinks he can convince anyone now. So
I was going to say, is that the same Mike Tannenbaum who actually built some good teams?
Yeah.
Because that doesn't sound like the same Mike Tannenbaum that he was throwing that. And I love Mike, but that's wacky.
He's the last GM with a winning record of the Jets. As much crap as I give Mike sometimes for his takes. I mean, some of the best moves the Jets made, like trading up for Jarrell Revis, for example, Mangold, DeBrickishaw, those were his draft picks.
Yeah.
Yep, last playoff appearance, he was the GM.
Comments, questions, super chats, we will get to those towards the end. You're watching the Jets Collective. Hit the like button. Make sure you are subscribed to the channel. We're presented by Prize Picks. Use that code HMA you see on the screen. If you put $5 in, you'll get $50 instantly in lineups. We'll have a prize pick selection coming up. Before we get to the mini mock, Rich, just another follow-up just on the Jets at 16. You mentioned trading back. It feels like there could be a tackle run right near where the Jets are set to pick. Right. Everyone thinks the Lions at 17, one pick behind the Jets, need an offensive tackle. If one of the tackles makes it to 16, I think the Jets would be in a spot where they could actually move out of that pick, maybe go down somewhere in the 20s, and then take a Denzel Boston or Casey Concepcion, maybe Omar Cooper. Like, if there's a perceived drop-off in the receivers and the Jets are there at 16, they don't love the value of one of those receivers, I'd be surprised if Muji wasn't able to get some sort of trade offer to move down from 16. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think it's a good point because I'm looking at the list. You know, I got starting at 10 with the Giants. I think you got 10 with the Giants. You got 11 Miami, I think, is looking offensive tackle. You could see Baltimore at 14 looking for an offensive lineman. And so you got Detroit at 17. A lot of teams, there's going to be a run on tackles in the teens. The one position that the Jets don't need to draft. So you make a great point. Maybe a team really craves one of those tackles. The Jets, you know, drop down a few spots, grab a Denzel Boston, who I know they like, maybe not at 16, but maybe at 20 or 22 or somewhere in that range, and you pick up an extra pick.
And the tackle would probably be somebody more like Caden Proctor, somebody like that from Bama. Because you're past Fano at that point. You're past the tackle from Miami. So I would think that those guys would go 1-2 in either order. And then, I guess if you get to mid-teens, Proctor's a name from Alabama. It's a tackle you want to keep an eye on. Makes sense.
Yeah, I got Baltimore and looking at Proctor, and I got Baltimore also looking at Ioane Edenga, you know, the Penn State guard.
Yep.
I think is a possibility there, and we'll get into that more in our mock draft coming up shortly.
Rich, would there be a shocking position they could draft at 16 that you don't see coming right now?
Like last week, I thought corner would be a possibility there, but now you're hearing a lot of stuff about the, you know, the Tennessee kid who they did have in for a visit that, like, on a medical recheck, Jermaid McCoy.
McCoy
now could be falling out of the first round because there's talk that he may need another surgery to do some cleanup. So, and I think Mansoor Delane is going to go really high. I think he's going to be top 10.
Yep.
So then there's a big gap in cornerback. So I don't think it'll be a cornerback. I think tight end, which BT alluded to earlier, I think that would be like the wild card pick there.
Kenyon Sadiq, the name that we talked about. Man. Intel still that you don't believe he'll actually make it to 16?
You know, he's right in that range. I think, you know, right around there. You know, that would be a fascinating, like, to me, if all the good pass catchers, just get a pass catcher, whether he's a tight end or a wide receiver. If the wide receivers are gone, instead of reaching for a second-tier wide receiver or a third-tier wide receiver, take Sadiq, play some 12 personnel with Mason Taylor, and you could really create some matchup problems.
You said that the first episode, and I thought that was an outstanding point. And listen, guys, this is obvious, but we should say it, even though it's not going to happen. Jake, think about what you just asked Rich. You got to at least throw Ty Simpson's name out there. Like, if something, what would stun us? All right, maybe we wouldn't be stunned if they take a corner, although with McCoy's possible second surgery, that changes things there. I mean, Ty Simpson's the one, when we started the Jets Collective, that was really one of the first things we hit. There's no way he's going 16. I don't even think he cracks the top 20, but if the Jets took him, even if they moved back a few slots and took him, I would be flabbergasted, stunned. So just let me get on the record with that.
Rich, you had a tweet today about Ty Simpson that I wanted to bring up, so I'm glad you mentioned that. BT, I don't know how ESPN calculates these odds, but according to Seth Walder's draft predictor, there's a 43% chance that Ty Simpson could be available for the Jets at 33. And then I think it's a fascinating discussion. One, because the Jets would have 24 hours in between night one and night two to field trade offers. But if Ty is there, I wonder just how heavy that debate is, whether or not they pull the trigger at 33.
Yeah, so those analytics are based on a lot of mock drafts from like the most well-respected mock drafters, and they base it on some of the ratings that they have, like their scouts ratings that, you know, ESPN hires scouts to do the ratings. So it's based on a lot of different factors, and so that was the chance. And I think that's a pretty accurate, I think there's probably about a 40% chance that he slips through the first round. I still think Arizona could leapfrog the Jets into the bottom of the first round and grab him there. I think Mike LaFleur likes him. You get the extra year with the fifth-year option. So I think that's a possibility. But I think it'll be a lot of drama if we have an entire day to talk about Ty Simpson and the Jets. He's sitting there for the Jets at 33. I would be stunned. I'm with BT. I'd be flabbergasted if they took him at 16. If he's at 33, I think the Jets will have a conversation. I still think that I'd be a little surprised that they took him, but I think it's a conversation. As I said last week, I know they came away very impressed with him from that private workout, just in terms of the mental aptitude, the character, the people skills, all that sort of stuff. They came away impressed with that. But he's got some limitations, you know, physically. And of course his, you know, 15 college starts.
I just need to know, will they incorporate our mini mock and then update the odds based on what we do through the first 16 picks coming up in a bit? I mean, hopefully they do that for us, guys.
Let me text Seth Walder and give him the information. You've got to incorporate that into the algorithm.
The pick is in.
Well, speaking of the mini mock, why don't we get right into it here? So we're going to try and do this as organized as we can. Let me pull up a little graphic here that shows the order now.
We'll go with here.
At pick 10, it still says the Cincinnati Bengals. That's because the Jets website has not updated the fact that the Giants now own the number 10 pick. So we're going to do a live mock on the air, just 1 through 16, just for the Jets picks. We determined the order in our Jets collective group chat before the show began tonight. So BT, you are going to lead off and make the first selection on behalf of the Las Vegas Raiders. Rich will go at number 2 for the first Jet pick, and then I will be on the clock at number 3 for the Cardinals. So the order is BT, Rich, and then myself. So BT, whenever you're ready, you can make the selection for the Las Vegas Raiders.
And I was really tempted to throw a little stink bomb in or make a trade with myself, maybe, but I had to have somebody to trade with. And, you know, listen, obviously with the first pick in the 2026 Jets Collective mock draft here. The Raiders select quarterback Fernando Mendoza from Indiana. It's been on lock for months. There's nothing to discuss. Rich, I don't even know. Have they even been like remotely approached, like on the most surface level, like a cursory call? Hey, would you be willing to trade? Has anybody even made that call? It's obviously going to be Mendoza. That's who I'm taking. Anybody reach out to the Raiders that you know about?
Well, I know Darren Mooji said at the combine that he's already talked to John Spytek, the GM in Vegas. Now, those guys are really good friends. They used to work together in Denver. So that might have been like just calling up your buddy and saying, hey, man, you know, what's it going to take? Come on, why don't you give us a shot at that? But it went, as Mooji said at the combine, it went nowhere. And I think everybody knows what's going to happen there.
Yeah, Mooji was like laughing about the idea of even making a trade with them for number one, and that was in February, early March. So I think it tells you all you need to know. All right, easy one for BT. That's like the bingo spot on your bingo card right there. Mendoza at one to the Raiders. So that means Rich Samini Mooji is now on the clock representing the New York Jets.
Come on, Rich.
Yeah, this is big pick here for the Jets. So with the second pick, the Jets are going to select Texas Tech edge rusher David Bailey. I know there's a lot of Reese people out there. You know, a lot of people think they're going to pick Reese. I'm leaning Bailey right now. I truly am. And by the way, these picks are what we think the team will do, just to let the viewers know. It's not what we would do personally. I think the Jets are going to take Bailey. I think the speed off the edge really intrigues them. I think he's a better run defender than people give him credit for. He plays with obviously speed, 4.5 flat in the 40, but also has some speed to power. And like we said earlier, good kid, clean prospect. I think he will be the pick at number two. And now you talk to a lot of people. Some people say, nah, they're going to take Reese. I tried to talk to as many people as I could around the league. And the gist I get is that Bailey will be the guy.
Wow. That surprised it to me because it felt like the national people were all going Bailey, but a lot of the people who cover the Jets locally, like you, Rich, were still holding strong on Reese. But you're officially going Bailey here in the chat. There's not a single chat I have seen that is from a Jet fan who was on board with that pick. So that is going to be fascinating if Thursday night Bailey ends up being the pick.
Well, I wouldn't bet my mortgage on it. Like I said, no one from the Jets is telling any reporter, hey, we're taking this guy. You just do the best you can and piece together as much information as you can. And sometimes you have to go with your gut. And, you know, and I found it very interesting that the betting lines changed today. It was Reese as the favorite. And all of a sudden, late in the afternoon, the Bailey overtook him as the betting favorite for the number two spot.
That means the Arizona Cardinals are on the clock, and I'm going to take the player that the Jets didn't take. I'm going to take Arvell Reese here. So Bailey and Reese back to back, just maybe not in the order Jet fans wanted to see it. Arvell Reese to the Cardinals at number three, the next selection in our Jets Collective live mini mock.
Okay. All right. Good job with there, Jay. So now we start getting pretty interesting here. Not that Bailey's not interesting, and obviously, I think if I was picking three and Bailey went where he did, I would probably go Reese as well. But obviously those picks, like I was thinking, maybe if Bailey falls to the Titans at four, that would be good for Robert Saleh. Look at what the Tennessee Titans need. They need an edge rusher. They need a receiver. They need a running back. So I'm not going to overthink this. I might get criticized here in terms of the value, but I'm going to remain true to what I've said forever. I don't care about value. I want a stud. So with the fourth overall pick in the 2026 Jets Collective, the Tennessee Titans select Jeremiah Love, running back out of Notre Dame.
Strong pick. It's fascinating to see where Love could go if he doesn't go at four to Tennessee, because then the Giants obviously would come into play. But look, if you're Robert Saleh, you know that you need to just make sure your offense looks functional, because the defense, I'd imagine, will be a lot better with him coaching it. So I like that pick a lot. From a Titans standpoint, BT.
Okay, there you go.
You stole my guy, BT. I was going to go Jeremiah.
Hey, listen, Rich, you didn't. I'm sitting in a war room. You could have called me up. I mean, I'm open for business. I didn't hear my phone. If you called me, we could have made a trade here. That's on you. I got my war room in order, Rich.
Rookie GM mistake right there by me. So, I think the Giants are going to go Love there, but obviously he's not available. So I'm going to have to pivot a little bit. This is a very interesting selection here now. I don't think they're going to take Styles. So his stock is going to fall a little bit. I think with the fifth pick in the Jets collective mock draft, the New York Giants are going to select Caleb Downs.
Boom.
Safety.
Yes.
Ohio State.
Good. BT's favorite player.
I love him. That's the guy. That is home run, Hall of Famer, if he's healthy. Love it.
Well, Harbaugh obviously had Ed Reed, Ed Reed back in the day. And then there was, he had Hamilton, so he needs good safeties. He's been around good safeties. Caleb Downs is a really clean prospect. I mean, he's an outstanding, he was great at Alabama. He transfers to Ohio State. He was great there. Not the biggest ball hawk in the world. Doesn't have a ton of interceptions, but is a very cerebral player. He'll be like one of the leaders on defense. So we'll go with Caleb Downs there.
Strong. All right. Nice. That means I'm on the clock here at 6. I'm between two players, full disclosure. One has been linked to the Jets and one has not been linked to the Jets. I'm going to say that we get a bit of a curveball here at 6. Mm-hmm. A lot of people expecting the Browns to potentially take one of the receivers here. I think they go with a safer pick. I think they take Francis Malagoa, the offensive tackle, out of Miami. Browns need a tackle. There's some rumblings they're trying to move out, but we're going to make sure we beef up our offensive line here. We'll take the best tackle in the class, who's on the board here at 6. So Cleveland taking Malagoa. And that means that the Washington Commanders are now officially on the clock at number 7.
This is easy. Forget about doing the Jets collective. We should be GMs. I mean, we're 6 for 6 already. Everybody's crushing the picks. All right. So I look at the Commanders. You're hearing a lot about wide receiver. You're hearing a lot about trade. I know they need a linebacker. They need some edge help as well. Oh, man, I'm going back and forth between two players, kind of like Jake was just wrestling with there with the Browns. But I am actually going to go with somebody that Rich just said he believes is going to drop. I don't believe that he's going to. I'm going to go with the 7th overall pick in the 2026 Jets collective draft out of Ohio State linebacker Sonny Styles. You are now a Commander. Suit up for Washington, brother. That's where you're going.
It's a good pick.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a possibility. I mean, they're looking. I mean, they need a lot of help in a lot of different spots, and they had Bobby Wagner last year as kind of their cog in the middle. I think he'd be their new Bobby Wagner. So that's a really good pick.
Carnell Tate, I thought, could maybe make some sense either at 6 or 7. Now he's there for potentially the Saints at 8. We don't have a receiver that's gone off the board yet. So Rich, you're now on the clock picking for the Saints.
Yeah, the Saints need a lot here. I got a couple of my wish list. I got a defensive player here, and I have two defensive players and two receivers here to choose from. And so that's a very, very interesting. I'm going to go with the 8th pick in the draft in the Jets collective draft. The New Orleans Saints select cornerback Mansoor Dalone. They need corners. I mean, I thought about Tate here. I thought about Tyson. I even thought about Reuben Bain a little bit because they got some, Cam Jordan is still a free agent, and they need a whole bunch of help, but a cornerback to come in there. For years, they had Lattimore, who's kind of like their lockdown guy, and that era has passed. So they keep it local. They go with the LSU kid and bring him in. That's my
LSU on the board. First pick of the draft. That's good. There you go, Rich.
Top corner in the draft, officially off the board. All right, at 9, now if I'm Darren Mooji, I'm calling up Brent Veach and I'm trying to get up here because I am a believer in Carnell Tate, and I'm so sick of the Jets not having weapons next to Garrett Wilson, so I would be willing, as I said last week, to make this kind of trade and move up. For the purpose of this mock, though, I'm going to stick and pick, and a player that Rich just mentioned is who I have going to the Kansas City Chiefs in this mock. So with the 9th pick in the Jets collective mock draft, I have the Kansas City Chiefs selecting Reuben Bain, the defensive lineman from the University of Miami. I don't think Spags is going to care about arm length in Kansas City. He's going to say this guy's an ass kicker, and we're going to coach him up, and he's going to be awesome in our defense there. Fills a need for the Chiefs. So Chiefs go Reuben Bain at pick number 9.
All right, let me just jot this down. Make sure I don't miss any. Reuben Bain, good pick there, Jake. I like it. All right, so Now I'm looking at the Giants here, and they're looking at the Giants again. Obviously, Caleb Downs is already there. So, you know, I'm focusing on offense, and I'm looking at really what the Giants need. Giants need one more stud O-lineman for sure. They need a corner, and they need a running back, right? So, I mean, Love. You're not going to take anybody but Love here. Love's gone. Best corners off the board. I'm thinking between Spencer Fanu from Utah, but I'm going to actually go a little bit off the board. This might be early, and I'm going with Kenyon Sadiq. Because if I could envision an offense here, so with the, let me just do this officially, pardon me, let me get the placard, get it up here. With the 10th overall pick in the 2026 NFL Draft, the New York Football Giants select from University of Oregon tight end Kenyon Sadiq. Guys, think about this. We always talk about like, well, you know, whenever the Jets find their quarterback, their young quarterback down the road, you're going to want to have a safety valve as a tight end. And that permeates the league. Why wouldn't that apply to Jackson Dart? I mean, think about, you got Malik Nabers on one side and then Sadiq, line it up wherever you want to line him up. I'm going with him. It might be early for some. I love him. Giants get a tight end. The best one.
Well, I mean, they did have two great tight ends in Baltimore for many years. So Harbaugh did coach that up with, you know, and with Andrews and Likely. Now they have Likely and Sadiq. I'd be surprised just because you have your pick of any of the wide receivers still at this point, which actually is great news from a Jet perspective here. But that'd be crazy, Rich, if the Giants end up taking Kenyon Sadiq at number 10.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a very interesting pick there, BT. I mean, that could be, they need playmakers for sure. So that's a very, very interesting pick. So I guess I'm up here at 11, right, guys? At 11 in Miami. So I'm going to be John Eric Sullivan, the GM here. So we know where he's from. He's from Green Bay. They never, well, until last year with Golden, they never pick receivers, right? They went 20-something years. So we're not picking a receiver here. But my phone is ringing right now, and I think Darren Mooji's on the line. He's calling John Eric Sullivan right now, trying to get into this spot to pick Jordan Tyson, right? That's what's going to happen if this happens. But for the sake of our mock here, we'll stick and pick. And so this one is kind of easy for me then. So with the 11th pick in the Jets collective mock draft, the Miami Dolphins select tackle slash guard from Utah, Spencer Fanu. I mean, this was a no-brainer. Miami needs so much help everywhere. This is kind of a rebuild, you know, start of a rebuild for them. They need help on the offensive line. Austin Jackson's going to be a free agent after the year, so you might need to replace him. Fanu's real tough kid. They got 11 picks, Miami. They have 7 picks in the first 3 rounds, so they are very much into their stockpiling rebuild mode. I think this is a great, but like I said, if it plays out like this, I could see the Jets trying to get into this spot.
Man, this is a fascinating mock that we have done, because still all the wide receivers remain available at this point. So, you know, maybe the Jets don't need to trade up if it plays out this way. They're guaranteed maybe to get one of them. All right, that means Jerry Jones and the Cowboys and our old friend Brian Schottenheimer are now on the clock. Cowboys need a defensive player badly, as we know. The problem is the top defensive guys that I had down on my board are all gone, including Mansoor Delane and Caleb Downs. So I don't think there's any chance, if he does start the slide, he'd get past Jerry. But I'm going to go a little outside the box here. I'm going to take a different safety who's been linked around the top 15. I'm going to go Dylan Thielman to the Dallas Cowboys here at pick 12. He's the safety from Oregon. He's been ascending boards, fills a huge need. Every scouting report is that he is perfect for all these different schemes. He played in multiple defenses. Yeah, I think he was at Auburn or Purdue. I forget which school before he transferred to Oregon in the first place. I'm going to go Dylan Thielman in here at number 12 to the Dallas Cowboys. That's my pick, given the fact the other top defenders are off the board.
Interesting. So I'm just jotting this down. All right. So I'm going to reset this real fast for everybody in the chat. So if they just jump in, they know who's picked, because we just have the team names up there. Mendoza 1, Jets took Bailey, Reese 3, Jeremiah Love to the Titans at 4, Caleb Downs, Giants 5, Malagoa lineman, Brown 6, Styles 7 to the Commanders, Delane the corner 8, we've got Bain going 9, we've got Sadiq to the Giants the tight end, we've got Spencer Fanu from Utah for the Miami Dolphins, and you just took the safety. It's funny, Jake, when you said safety, I thought you were going to go for the safety from Toledo. I have Emmanuel McNeil Warren pretty highly rated as well. I thought that's an interesting pick. They definitely need defense. And the way this board went, You know they love to get their hands on Sonny Styles. I can see them making a trade, but Styles is gone. All right, let me jump into mine. So the Rams need a receiver, need an offensive tackle. To me, there's nobody left worthy of an offensive tackle pick at 13 for the LA Rams. So I'm going to go receiver here, and I'm going to go Cornell Tate. I'm going to go Cornell Tate, Ohio State, wide receiver. I mean, if one of the tackles drops, I could see the Rams doing that. But if the receiver board plays out the way we have it playing out, there is 100% chance, 99% chance they're going receiver. I'm going to put Tate in a Rams uniform.
Well, yeah, I mean, Davante Adams is in the last year of his contract. He's up in age. I think he's, what, 33, 34 now. And Puka Nacua, you know, they have him. They're trying to get him signed. You know, he's got some off-the-field stuff he's going through, obviously. So, yeah, that pick makes a lot of sense to me right there. You know, I think they need a receiver.
Phil's a huge need. So now only one of the quote-unquote big three receivers are off the board within our first 13 picks of this mock.
Yeah. Crazy, right?
That's
crazy.
Going well for us.
Well, like I said earlier, I talked to a scout today. He said he thought Tate, you know, could last into the teens. So maybe that's not as crazy as I thought when he said it. You know, he just goes right here at 13. So I'm up at Baltimore here. And so they're not going to take a receiver. Pretty sure they wouldn't go in that direction. They need to replenish in the trenches. You know, they need some bodyguards for Lamar Jackson. He was pressured 37% of the time last year. That was the second highest rate in the league. So they need some they need some hog mollies up front. That's what they need. And so with the 14th pick in the Jets collective mock draft, the Baltimore Ravens will select Venga Ioane from Penn State, interior lineman, tough dude, two straight years without allowing a sack. Two straight years without a holding penalty. Oof. And a really good prospect. And it kind of seems like a Raven kind of guy. So that's where they're going. They're going with with Venga Ioane at 14.
Great pick. That means I'm up on the clock here representing Todd Bowles and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is a tricky one because I thought Kenyon Sadiq could have made some sense here for Tampa Bay. Put him next to Cade Otton. I don't think they'd go receiver here. I know they lost Mike Evans, but if you look at some of their recent picks, they took Ebuka last year in the first round. They still have Godwin. So I'm going to go with a defensive player here. Their head coach is a defensive guy. I'm going to go with I want to make sure he's here. He is. I'm going to take Edge Keldrick Falk out of Auburn. I've seen some mocks having him go in this range. I think in this scenario, he'd potentially be best player available. Tampa desperate for an edge. So I'm going to go Keldrick Falk out of Auburn as the pick here to Tampa Bay at 15, which means the New York Jets are once again on the clock at number 16.
Okay, hold on. What's that? Yeah. What we got? Yeah. No, we're always open for business. What do you want? What do you got? Yeah? No. Didn't you see the trades I made last year? Dude, stop. Call me when you have a real trade offer. Get out of here. These clowns think we're still the Jets. Come on, man. Try to clown us with a trade here. Don't they know that we operate differently now, boys? All right. We know, you know, Edge, Reese, or Bailey. All right. And then receiver. I am actually tempted to go corner here. Colton Hood jumps out.
No. I know.
I'm not going to take McCoy because of the injury, and I'm not going to go corner. I'm going to go receiver, but it's not the name that you guys think. With the 16th overall pick in the 2026 Jets Collective NFL Draft, the New York Jets select from Texas A&M, KC Concepcion.
No.
Receiver.
No.
I'm going with him.
Wait a minute. What? Is Jordan Tyson, he's still on our board, right?
Yes. I didn't pick him. Hey, you can pick who you want. I'm picking who I picked.
Okay.
Mekhi Lemon's there, too.
That's all right. I don't want Mekhi Lemon. I want Concepcion.
Well, that's because of Aaron Glenn, the Texas A&M connection there. That's why they went.
You guys don't like him as a player. I understand the other guys are more highly rated, but this happens every year just because we force feed. And I mean, this might not happen. It probably won't. I'm just telling you I like him, but the five or six names that are always regurgitated, invariably, one or two of those guys are going to fall to round two. It just happens every year. So you think that like Concepcion would stun you? you would say bad pick.
With Tyson on the board and Lemon on the board, I think the Jets would be annihilated, and that's what they did.
Okay, no, they might be, but you would say that's a bad pick.
He has a huge drop rate. He feels like a second-round guy.
Yeah.
You don't like him. I'm sticking by my guns. He did have a high drop rate.
I think if it played out like this and Tyson were still on the board for the Jets at 16, Aaron Glenn would do one of his dancing sprintings across the war room, just like he did in Tampa Bay after the McDonald touchdown. That's how fast he'd be running around the room. I think the Jets would be ecstatic to get Jordan Tyson in this spot. But you're the GM, BT, and you like Concepcion, so...
Hey, this is where reputations are made and jobs are secured, or we get kicked out of the building at some point. But I'm going to go with Concepcion.
Nick Shine says we're not the Jets anymore. Does the new wildest Jet thing? If you're right, no one will care.
That's right.
That's what it comes down to. Yeah. This would be pretty wild. I'll tell you what, Rich, I'm glad you suggested this as an exercise for us to do, because I didn't think there was any chance the quote-unquote big three receivers would make it to 16, but it just goes to show there's maybe better players than we realize in this draft, because all of a sudden, not one but two of the quote-unquote big three that we've spent months discussing were right there at 16 for the Jets. Obviously, BT wanted Concepcion, which is a different conversation, but just from a, you know, like consensus standpoint, like a couple of the receivers that we've been talking about the Jets having to trade up for actually made it there at 16 for them.
Yeah, you know, that's what the beauty of the draft, man. You just never know. It's the best reality TV going, you know, because you just see it play out in real time. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Everyone has different opinions. But like I said, if the Jets actually had a choice between Jordan Tyson and Mekhi Lemon and Concepcion, I mean, man, they would be thrilled if that were the case.
You think about this. I don't know. When I look at I love that we just played that out. That was a lot of fun. You guys did a great job with that. Hopefully everybody's enjoying what we just did there. But maybe we're overstating how unlikely it is that one of the desired receivers will fall to the Jets. Think Raiders aren't taking a receiver. Jets aren't taking a receiver 2. Cardinals aren't doing it at 3. Tennessee's not doing it at 4. I don't think the Giants are doing it at 5. The Browns, maybe. Saints defense. You know, I mean, Cowboys at 12, defense, Rams. You have to worry about the Rams. You've got to worry about the Commanders at 7. But, you know, you start looking at some of those old line, but it takes one GM to say, that's my left tackle for a decade, and the whole board changes. I think there's maybe a better chance than we've kind of intimated for a couple of weeks now that one of these dudes slips to the Jets, if not more than one of these guys.
I will say this, getting to the Cowboys pick at 12, our Cowboys writer at ESPN, Todd Archer, who is very plugged in and often hits the Cowboy pick directly in our ESPN mock draft, he had the Cowboys taking Jordan Tyson at 12.
Wow. So, would they trade Pickens?
Well, they'd have a lot more leverage on Pickens. You know, Pickens is on the franchise tag. So,
okay.
You know, that's – and Todd's pretty plugged in, so he thinks, I guess, receivers possible there. That would be, I guess, a surprise. I mean, Dallas needs defense. I think Dallas will probably be trying to trade up to get one of those defensive guys, because otherwise they're in kind of a no man's land there at 12 in terms of defensive players. So you just never know. And, you know, there's going to be trades in this top 16 group. I guarantee you there'll be a trade in there or two. And so our beautiful mock draft could get blown up with one trade, but I like our mock. I think we did a good job.
I don't think I did it. I'm getting absolutely eviscerated in the comments. I mean, everybody's some dude just typed in, I unsubbed from Unleashed because of the pick that I just made with the Concepcion. So you guys are okay, but I got some shrapnel to deal with here, apparently.
Hey, it's part of being the GM, you know, you gotta take the slings and arrows when you're the GM of the Jets. We are presented by Prize Picks. Here's a Prize Pick slip. Let me see if I can get a better view of this here as I'm toying around with it. You know what? The different graphics here, I think it might look best if we go like that, or maybe not. I've got all these different settings here. There we go. Who goes number 10? This is something you could do on Prize Picks. We were just talking about the Dexter Lawrence deal and how that potentially impacts the Jets and their pursuit of a receiver. So if you go on Prize Picks right now, and again, download the app and use that code HMA, one of the odds that you could play when you're setting your different lineups for draft night is where Caleb Downs and where Jordan Tyson will go. Would you go higher or lower than number 10 on Downs? For our mock, Caleb Downs went number five to the Giants with their first-round pick. So we would say lower for our mock, and for Jordan Tyson in this scenario on our mock, we'd say higher. In fact, higher past even number 16 for the New York Jets. So it just shows you all the different ranges. But if anyone's interested in doing higher or lower for any of the top prospects in the draft, do it with Prize Picks. Check it out right now. Again, download the app. Use that code HMA. You put $5 in, you'll get $50 available instantly, and you'll see some of the players that we just discussed in our mock draft. Are you guys ready for some super chats from our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go.
Here we go. A bunch of people have sent in some comments and questions, so we will get to them to wrap up our show now. Jay starts it off and says, fellas, I love this. We need to keep this going throughout the season, at least after the games. Let's get Reese and then get Downs. That's my opinion. Well, Jay, we got good news for you. This show will be live during the Jet season on Tuesdays, and we'll keep everyone updated when the next show will be after the draft. So check our socials for all that. This one is from David, who says, you three are fantastic. If we draft Bailey and Cooper, I will be ordering a Dart jersey and saying goodbye to the Jets. What are the odds we take Reese and trade up? Look, I don't think you'll do that, David, but we appreciate you won't do it.
Why are people so down on David Bailey?
You know what it is, Rich? There's a stigma, whether it's right or wrong, that he doesn't have it to be a superstar. And you know this because you've been talking to everybody in the building forever. And you want a superstar too. Now, it doesn't mean that Reese is going to be a superstar, but you're salivating over his explosion and his ceiling and what he could become. Bailey's more ready, and that's reassuring, but it's also a bit of a, you know, it's like, all right, yeah, he's good, but he's never going to be like great. We want great. I think that's the pushback.
You know, I think it is too, BT. I think it's the messaging. I don't know if this is true or not, Rich, but when it's been leaked out there by all these national guys, oh, well, the Jets want the safer pick. It's like, we're the Jets. We don't want the safer pick. Like, swing for the fence. We're not going to get out of this rut by just doing the safe thing. Like, Arvel Reese could be a superstar. Oh, he needs coaching? Great. That's the job, to coach him up and turn him into a superstar. When we hear the logic for Bailey is he's safe, I think a lot of fans get turned off by that.
Well, and I think part of it is because Arvel Reese is from Ohio State. So people automatically, he's Ohio State. He's got to be really good. The other kid's from Texas Tech, you know. So I think that's part of it.
What? So is Mahomes.
Yeah. But I mean, I was just crunching some numbers today. So Bailey, I wanted to compare Bailey and Will McDonald, right? Mm-hmm. So I went back and checked McDonald's numbers. They are the exact same height. They're about 6'3 and 3/4. Bailey is 251. McDonald was 239. Look at the difference in 40. McDonald ran a 4.69 when he was coming out, which is not a great time.
No.
Bailey 4.50. So that's pretty significant difference. Vertical jump, right about the same. McDonald had 36. Bailey had 35. Now McDonald is a freakish leaper, like jumper. We know that because you saw it on the blocked field goal against Tampa, what he was able to do. He had a broad jump of 132 inches, which is incredible. Bailey had 129 right behind him. So a lot of explosiveness there. Look, I'm on record in saying this. We said this. I would take Reese myself. I'm just saying that Bailey's not as bad as some people are making it sound out to be. You know, so I think he's a good player. I don't think this is a great draft to begin with. I think Muji said today that it's a good draft. I think he was just trying to be politically correct. I think if you talk to most GMs, this is not a super top-heavy draft with elite talent. Next year will be. But I think Bailey would be a decent pick for the Jets at number two.
Kyle Clifton writes, in a question for Rich, now that they are D1, how long before Lemoy Dolphins start beating the Crosstown Orange in basketball regularly?
I'm not even going to dignify that with an answer. I used to cover some Lemoyne games when I was up in the Cuse. So we're on the road back.
They used to be great in baseball. Woodridge, remember, you know the name Dickie Woodridge?
I don't know that, but I know Lemoyne had a good baseball program.
Great baseball program. Long time, no doubt. Yeah.
Doc Jetfed checks in. Rich, can you recall one story that you declined the right that in retrospect you wish you had? Conversely, is there a story you wrote that you regret?
I'm assuming he means like a draft related story. So
no, probably any story. Probably any story.
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of stories that I regret that I wrote.
Jets draft Zach Wilson. Big regret.
You know, no, actually, I was actually pretty accurate on that one. I raised a lot of questions when they picked him. I think that was a fair criticism because of all the obvious, you know, he played a crappy schedule at BYU, questions about his leadership. I think that one was pretty, we were on that one. So, I can't think of any offhand. I know there's a lot of stories that I regret.
Anything about like where you wrote, maybe it was time to fire a coach and he turned it around. I don't think just draft stuff. Like it's been a lot of stories that you pumped out there, Rich.
Yeah.
A lot of good ones.
Yeah, I know. That's a tough man. You're talking about thousands of, look at my notebooks. I get bookshelves filled with notebooks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I'll think of one. I'll try to think of one.
We'll come back to you if you remember. Nick Shine writes in, who could be this year's Will McDonald at 16? Millions of Jets mocks and nobody had him being the selection in 2023. Who could shock Jets Nation in 2026? I think we alluded to this earlier and it led us down the Ty Simpson path. I don't know if that'd be like the most shocking of shocking just because we have discussed it, but is there a position or maybe it's just a player that you could think of would be like, yeah, corner. I guess corner would be a bit surprising, corner. But
yeah.
Yeah, that would,
corner.
I think if they took like a defensive tackle, I'd be surprised.
Yeah, like Woods from Clemson or something like that. Yeah, yeah.
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 That they're not would, taking that a tackle. Would be, yeah.
Oh,
that,
God.
I would say maybe one of those safeties.
Really?
That would.
Interesting. That would,
well, you asked something like a wild card that we don't expect to happen. I mean, you know, they did pay, they're committed to Minka for a couple of years because of the money they gave him, $20 million. Mm-hmm. But who's the other safety? I mean, they got, you know, Malachi Moore. Big deal. You know, the guy they signed from the Giants.
Dane Belton. Yeah.
He gave him $3 million. They brought back Cisco on a basically a veteran minimum type deal. That other safety job is wide open. So you're asking for a wild card pick? That would be my wild card pick.
Big fella writes in, Rich, in Jets history, which pick would you say was more shocking, Will McDonald or Jeff Lagerman, who was a guest on the Flight Deck podcast this past year?
Yeah, Lagerman for sure. I mean, this is not like revisionist history. I actually had a pretty good idea before the draft that they were going to draft Will McDonald. I think I was told he was one of their like final two or three guys. Now, the guy they really wanted in that draft was Jahmyr Gibbs. That's who they wanted to draft. He didn't make it to 16. I think he went 12 to Detroit. So I was not shocked that they drafted Will McDonald. I knew everyone was, but I wasn't. Lagerman was shocking. that was like, what are we doing here? I mean, he was projected as a second round pick. So definitely Jeff Lagerman.
He was a good player though. I'm trying to remember. That was so long ago. Who did the fans, like who were they clamoring for? Why don't I
remember? It was Eric Metcalf was a.
Metcalf.
Yeah. Wow. Remember him? He was kind of like a scat back guy.
Yes. Browns.
Yeah, I think Cleveland took him.
Yep.
And just a small, shifty, almost like a Reggie Bush kind of guy, not quite as accomplished. I think that was what people expected. And then, but you know what? To Mike Hickey's defense, Jeff Lagerman had a good career.
He was good.
You know, he had a very solid career. He went on to play in Jacksonville for a long time.
Yeah.
He's a friend of mine, so I'm a little biased, but he had a good long career. And I think he definitely exceeded some people's expectations.
Nick Shine says, BT must watch my show. I've been saying Sadiq is the first pass catcher taken. Respect BT. I'd be surprised, again, if Sadiq's the first pass catcher taken, but all it takes is one team to fall in love. And if like Harbaugh's like, hey, this is the guy that would be perfect to run the offense we want to run, two tight ends, we already have a number one in Malik Nabers. The more I think about it, the more I actually could see that pick happening at 10.
Yeah, to me, if you have somebody that you can line up anywhere and runs like the wind and is strong and quick twitch, you know, I'm less concerned if there's a WR in front of his name or a TE. Just go win your matchup, find some space, and go make some plays. And that's what he's going to do.
Yeah. Sub 4.4 at 240 pounds is pretty good.
These athletes are crazy these days. My God.
Yeah.
Peter Castro says, Jeremiah Love's the best player in the draft. Why not him? And stop being ridiculous. He then follows up and says, no QB, no win. So Peter's a regular on my YouTube show. He wants them. He's one of those like frustrated, long suffering Jet fans that just wants them to take a quarterback, wants them to take Simpson just because they need a quarterback, wants Jeremiah Love because he's tired of watching awful offense. So that's how many in the fan base feel. Rich, if they took Jeremiah Love at two, what would be your level of shock in regards to a similar question we just answered?
Yeah, I don't think that would be a good pick. I'd be shocked. They're not at a place right now in their program where they're just a running back away. You got a pretty good running back on a franchise tag, which maybe he gets a long-term deal. Maybe he doesn't. You know, he'll come back and play for 14 point something million this year. You can win with Breece Hall. There's just other ways. I'm a believer in the positional value thing. I would be very hesitant to take a running back that high unless I was a team like Kansas City where I'm close, you know, and I'm just a player or two away. The Jets are not a player or two away. They need to build from the inside out.
And by the way, Braylon Allen, I saw him running the other day. He's pretty good. He's healthy. I mean, if the Jets were rolling out Frank Gore last year at the age of 37, maybe that's a conversation we can have a little bit. Yeah. They're fine at running back. There's no way they're doing that.
And Isaiah Davis is a good back. And could they draft one later in the draft? I could absolutely see them taking one later in the draft for sure.
Yeah. Let's see. A couple super chats left, and then we'll wrap up our final show before the picks are actually for real this Thursday night in Pittsburgh. Jedi's View says, Rich, I love the Bailey pick. Wow, one of the few in the chat that is on board with this. And I also feel he'll be the pick at two since he's NFL ready, and in my opinion, he'll be defensive rookie of the year in 2026.
Man. No matter who they pick at two, assuming it's a defensive player, it'll be the highest drafted defensive player in franchise history. They have never taken a defensive player one or two. Keyshawn went one. Lamb Jones, Zach Wilson, Blair Thomas went two. So this would be the highest drafted defensive player.
I didn't even realize that. That's a good nugget.
Quinnen was three.
Yeah, Q was three. Wow. Rich with nuggets,
man. Throwing out nuggets.
Yeah, this is what he does. This is Rich. It's Rich's show. Me and Jake are just chilling.
kind of obvious one, but whatever.
Six rings. He's a Patriots fan watcher. We shouldn't even let him in here, but he says, can the Patriots get A.J. Brown for Kayshon Boutte and a second rounder? What do you think the A.J. Brown trade return would be, assuming he ends up coming to the Jets division, plays for New England?
Second rounder. Right, Rich?
I think they got to get a first there. Well, first of all, that trade is going to happen June 1st, after June 1st, because of the cap implications. So that trade is not going to happen before this draft, I do not believe. So it'll be interesting to see what the compensation will be, because obviously a draft pick is not going to help the Eagles this year if it comes in June. Mm-hmm. So that'll be very interesting. So there, it could be a player for player.
That would, yeah. It just stinks that we're going to have to deal with A.J. Brown now division on top of everything. I know the Jets can't worry about the Pats. They got to get their own, you know, stuff in line, but it's just like, it doesn't get any easier with Drake May, Josh Allen, and now you got to deal with A.J. Brown added to that team that was in the Super Bowl last year.
You know what, though, guys? I hear you. To me, that's the easy way to look at it, and you're not wrong. But think about when Darrell Revis shut down every one of those great receivers. You know, something funny about the NFL, when you have a good defense, you could actually neutralize the other team's good players. It's just when you stink and you have backups as starters and taxi guys as backups, you got no chance. So, you're not wrong. I'm certainly not saying you're wrong, Jake. I just don't even get wrapped up in that. Like, I know it's part of the equation. Like, all right, what are the Bills doing? All right, where's Miami? What are the Pats? Maybe the start of another dynasty. Until the Jets get their collective house in order, it doesn't matter. And that's where we're talking about the draft now. And that's what we're hoping they do. And that's why next year is so exciting, because you got three first-round picks. Yep. And you build it out. We've already been patient. So I'm optimistic. I think that this is going to be, we're going to look back in years from now. I hope and I think that this is kind of where things start to turn, but we'll see.
Love the positivity, BT.
I believe
well
it. I'm not just saying that just to say it. If the Jets' O-line was awful, I would not be saying that, because then you'd have to fix absolutely everything. But I've been consistent with that. You got two guys on each side who are young studs, and only getting better, you know, you build from the guts out.
Clancy says, I talked to Jimmy Johnson last week for a story on having all the, you know, a draft pick bonanza, which obviously he had in the early 90s. And he said, the key is not getting the picks. The key is using the picks wisely. And he said, there's a danger in having too many picks because sometimes you could figure like, oh, I got extra picks. I could take some chances. I could reach for this guy to fill a positional need. He goes, you can't do that. He goes, you got to use every pick as if it's your last pick. And that was his advice to Darren Mooji. I thought it was very interesting talking to Jimmy and hearing what he had to say on that.
BT, we guessed wrong last week when we thought it was Parcells or Tom Coughlin. We didn't think of Jimmy Johnson for Rich's story.
That's
it was
right.
A great article.
Talk to Jimmy.
That was a good article, Rich. Good stuff. Very well. And I don't know if I said it on air, but last week, I think I said it on air, but if not, it's worth repeating. You guys got to go check out Rich's article. It's about a week old now about the Keyshawn draft pick. Awesome. It was so good, man. It was awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was fun. Loved it.
Two super chats left. Black Gypsy writes in, do you guys think we should trade Sherwood? I mean, I would love to trade him, but I feel like his contract is going to make that really tough. Rich, your thoughts on Jamie and Sherwood possible trade?
Yeah, I checked into that. I don't think that's going to happen. It's $15 million guaranteed this year. So he did not have a great year last year. I think he would admit that himself. I think there'll be a burden lifted from him having DeMario Davis there. DeMario Davis is going to be the green dot guy. He's going to be running the show. Jamian is probably better in the sidekick role, you know, the Batman Robin thing. And so I think he'll get another chance. No one's going to take $15 million in a trade, you know, guaranteed money. So I think Jamian Sherwood will be back. And for the Jets' sake, they're hoping he has a better year.
Peter Castro says, Geno's the reason we're not getting Fernando Mendoza. Well, indirectly, that's not completely untrue.
It's a twisted, convoluted way of looking at it, but it's not inaccurate.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, guys. I can't wait to do our next show when we're reacting to the actual picks that are made. More speculation. After this upcoming weekend, we'll know what the Jets are doing in the NFL draft. Rich will be covering it from the facility. I'll be in Pittsburgh, so if you're a Jet fan thinking about making the trip, come on down to McFadden's in Pittsburgh. We're throwing a huge draft party for anyone who's interested in joining us. And BT's going to be live on his YouTube channel, Draft Night, sweating out hopefully a Knicks playoff win over the Hawks and the Jets on the clock at 2:16. So we got you covered. It's going to be awesome.
How many beers are you going to be in by the 16th pick? I know you'll be fine by the second pick, Jake. What about number 16?
You know, if they take David Bailey, I mean, call me. I'll give you a better idea. A
couple shots at that point. Yeah, forget about the beers, right?
It really is a shame because I do like Bailey, but I think I'm like many. I want Reese. That's the guy.
We will see.
Rich, what do we need to know about your coverage with ESPN for draft night?
Yeah, man, we're going to be doing a lot of – I'll be at the facility. I'll be in the ESPN war room. Sal Palantonio is going to be out there. He's going to be doing a lot of hits if you're watching on TV. I'll be doing videos that you could check out on the ESPN app, on the SportsCenter app. We'll be doing reaction to every pick. And, of course, check out the website, ESPN.com, where we'll have live reaction to every pick.
That's awesome. I'll be plugged in, man. So I'm not on the list. I got the Knicks. I got the draft. I got Rich up there as well. Be sending good vibes out to Jake, out of McFadden's as he's sucking down pints. Hopefully the Jets get it right. I'll be doing what I've been doing since I launched a couple of months ago. BT Unleashed every day, 10 a.m. Go check it out. Like it, sub it, give it some traction. We hit 20,000 subs today, by the way, Jake.
Yeah, congratulations. Hey, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's tremendous.
Yeah, thank you. Brick by brick, man. It's Jake, you've been doing this for a little bit, so you understand the game, but it doesn't happen overnight, but I'm happy. And we start taking calls last week, so that's an element that I was missing. So BT Unleashed, and that's what I'm doing. I can't wait, man.
Love it. Everyone go subscribe to Brandon's YouTube channel. Shout out to Omar Ochoa, who became a Jets Collective channel member, something we'll talk more about next week. Another way to support the Jets Collective program. Make sure if you're new around here, you like the video and you subscribe to the channel. We will be back next week reacting to all the picks that the Jets make. Until then, though, thank you for watching the Jets Collective Episode 5. For Rich Cimini and Brandon Tierney, this is Jake Asman saying have a great night. Let's go, Jets, and we'll talk to you next time here on the Jets Collective.